All right. Appreciate the word in song. Take your Bible this morning, if you will, to the Gospel of John, John chapter 5. John chapter 5, if you will. Man, everything's going on in our country today. I'm leading my own protest against the protest, all right? I am trying to build myself a collection of patriotic ties. And as long as they're going to protest, I'm going to try to wear a patriotic tie. You know, I mean, just put it on something with a flag or something about our country, you know. That flag right there means something to this guy. I'm real glad that I'm an American. I'm proud of our country. I'm proud of our flag and what it stands for. And I don't have too much use for a fellow that'll kneel when the Star-Spangled Banner is being played. I'll just be honest with you. I've got no use for people that'll disrespect our flag. I'm not a Canadian. But when I was at the hockey game, and they would play the Canadian anthem, I always respected that Canadian flag and stood there, and I didn't, you know, mess around. But and at the same time, I expect them to respect our flag. Listen, that's just the way I am. Now, maybe you want to kneel. If you do, God help you, all right? I like this country, and I thank God for it. And, you know, I thought about singing, "You're a grand old flag, you're a high-flying flag, and forever in peace may it wave. You're the emblem of the land I love." But I decided not to do that. All right, so there you are in John chapter 5, right? John chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. In John chapter 5, verse 1, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, where whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Sickness and disease are nothing new. Listen, man's been... I had to contend with sickness and disease ever since that day yonder in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve decided they had a better idea than that which God had given them. And because they decided to act on their better idea, sin came into this world, and sin brought sickness, it brought disease, and hey, it brought death. Now, all of those things came into the world because of the sin of man. And since that day, it hadn't got better. It's only gotten worse. It seems every year there's some new threat to health. There's a Spanish influenza. There's the bird flu, Ebola, AIDS, swine flu, West Nile virus, and even the coronavirus pandemic of our day today. You know, it's all the time is something new. I read the other day that there had been a case of the West Nile virus, or they'd caught mosquito that was carrying the West Nile virus. I thought, well, hallelujah. Now you can get two viruses at the same time, you know. It's amazing, but there's always something, some kind of health issue. And here in our passage scripture, in our text, we find that the Bible said these folks gathered together that had physical infirmities. They were gathered together at the pool of Bethesda, and they were there hoping to get some help. And then the Bible tells us there came a day when the Lord Jesus Christ came by, and he approached one fellow and he asked him that question. To a little bit what we might think, well, what a dumb question to ask. Here you've got a bunch of sick people and infirm people, and to come and ask to them, wilt thou be made whole? We would think, well, obviously the answer would be, well, of course. But you know, today, it may not be physically, it may be spiritually, but I think the Lord still comes by and says, wilt thou be made whole? And it's kind of interesting the kind of answers we get. So I want to preach to you on that thought, wilt thou be made whole? I want you to see a few things. First of all, I want you to see there's a certain season. Look there in your Bible in verse 4. Notice what the Bible says. An angel went down at a certain season. A certain season. Hey, help was not always available. Help was not always available. The folks were always there. They were always at that pool. They were surrounding it. But they didn't have any, I thought, that every day there's going to be some help. And any day, hey, only at a certain season, the Bible says, could these folks get any help. Because it was only at a certain season that the water would be troubled there. You know, I think about that. I think about folks today. I want to say to you, brother, right now, help's available. Help's available. We say, well, there'll be another season. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. We take for granted. We have a tendency to take things for granted in life, and we think, well, there'll always be that help available. Not so. Not so. Hey, we found out just recently that toilet paper's not always going to be available. Man, you can't get everything that you think you need at any time. And we just go, and it'll be there. Well, not necessarily. I was down at the dollar store right down here, and I can never remember if it's the Family Dollar, the General Dollar, or the Dollar Tree, all right? My wife says, well, go to that dollar store. I said, which one, you know? And but I never can remember. But right down here, there is a dollar store, man. So I went down there, and I was looking. I said, ma'am, have y'all got any ice trays, you know, ice cube trays to make ice cubes? And she said, well, we did. She took around and she said, well, we're out. And I thought, man, you can't even count on being able to buy a tray to make some ice nowadays, you know. It's everything, but we take things for granted. We live in a place where we take things for granted. I was watching a video this last week, some fellows in Cuba, and they were talking about trying to get some things in Cuba. And they were talking about the difficulty of it, and they said, they were standing in this long line of cars, and they had a camera, and they said, this is the line for the gas station. This is the line. And they drove out, and they went down and showed how long the line was just to get gas. Then they stood out, and they parked in this one place, and they said, this is the grocery store. And all these people are lined up, gathered here, and they're waiting to get into the grocery store. And boy, when they came and opened the door, everybody charged in. And they went in and he showed the empty shelves in that grocery store. Hey, we take things for granted. We think it'll always be available. And if there's one thing we take for granted the thought, well, God will always be available to me. And just whenever I want him and whenever I want to deal with him and ask him to help me, he'll be there. But you know, the Bible says a little differently. The Bible says now's the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. This is the time. Take your Bible, Isaiah chapter 55, would you? Over the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55. And I just want you to look at a verse here with me. Isaiah chapter 55. And I'm going to give you time to turn there because I want to be sure you're there. It's pretty simple. Genesis, Exodus, Joshua, Psalms, Isaiah. It's right there, all right? Right there. You can't miss it. The book of Isaiah 55. Look at verse 6, would you? The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Hey, the idea is there's a day coming where he won't be. Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Hey, we look at this and we think of John chapter 5. We think of all those impotent folk around that pool of Bethesda waiting for a certain season. And we think, well, I'm okay. I don't have to wait on that certain season. But you be careful. Amen. You mess around long enough, you're going to find out you waited too long to call on God. And God's available today. Now's the accepted time. Today's the day. There's no assurance you'll have tomorrow. There's no assurance you'll be able to call on him tomorrow. Seek him while he may be found. He's available today. Boy, you got a need. You need to come to him now. This is the certain time for you. This is the certain time. But I want you to go a little further. Back there in John 5, down in verse 5, it says there was a certain man there. A certain man was there. You know, I'm always amazed as I read my Bible of how our Lord may have spoke to multitudes, but he always dealt with individuals. He always dealt with individuals. He dealt with individuals then, and he deals with individuals today. Jesus Christ knew that certain man was going to be there. He knew he would be there. And he knew the specific situation that certain soul had, all right? He knew the deal he had. Can I say to you, he deals with you today apart from others. Amen. He deals with you. You know, I've talked to people about trying to witness to them, and I've taken them to John 3:16, and I've said, for God so loved the world. But I said, I want you to think of it this morning or right now. It's not so much for God so loved the world, but God so loved you. Amen. You. Yes. You. Sometimes we kind of get the idea, well, okay, it was everybody, but we don't figure it's for me. It's for me. Sometimes we come to church and the preacher's preaching and you sit there thinking, I hope people are getting this. Amen. But are you getting it, all right? It's not just for the crowd, it's for the individual. You know, I've been in a lot of places where they were handing out stuff. And if they were handing out stuff, I wasn't content if everybody else got it. I got in line and said, I want some. Let me have some, all right? Give me one of those. I like to go to Sam's when they've got, I don't guess they're doing that now. Of course, I hadn't been to Sam's lately very much. But I used to like to go when they were giving out samples, you know. And I would just graze through the store, you know. And I just going along there, what you got? Yeah, I'll try it, you know. And some of the things I've tried, I thought, boy, that's good. And we bought later on, you know. But I never was just happy to know, well, everybody else is getting it. But we come to the house of God, and we're content to let everybody else get it, but not me. Hey, could I just say to you this morning that you're the certain soul today? You're the certain soul today. It's your need. It's your need. It's your situation that our Lord wants to help. He said, well, preacher, I don't know. My need may not be as great as somebody else. Wait a minute. You got a need. The Lord's interested in the individual, okay? He's interested in the individual. He's not just dealing with the crowd. He's dealing with the individual. Hey, there was a certain season, but there was a certain soul that a certain Savior came to deal with. Look at verse 6, would you? Notice what the Bible says right there, when Jesus saw him. And I just want to put this in right now. Just anybody could not have provided this man with what he needed. Just anybody could not have provided this man with what he needed. Hey, he had been there a long time, all right? The Bible says 38 years. 38 years. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm not that patient. I'd have given up before then. You said, well, you didn't have the problem he had. No, but I decided I'd live with it. I mean, he had lived with it for 38 years, right? So I would have decided, I'm just going to live with this. I'll just make the best of it. But man, he was there, that certain soul, but that certain Savior showed up. It was when Jesus saw him that things began to look up. It's when Jesus passes by, okay? It's when Jesus passes by. That's when that certain soul, you need to realize, hey, if he's here, I need to avail myself of him. I need some help right now. What you need today, it may be a touch from the Master. A touch from the Master. Are you like me? When I come to church, I come looking for something. I come looking for something. I didn't come this morning because, well, he said, you had to come. You're the preacher. Well, no, I've got an associate, Brother Dunbar, back here. I could have said, hey, Brother Dunbar, I don't feel like coming today. You've got it. Have a good time. You know, I didn't have to come. I could have made up an excuse. When I got up this morning, when I woke up this morning, I did not look at the clock and say, woo, glory to God, it's time to get up. Instead, I looked at the clock and I'm going, you know, my clock is not real close to the bed. It's way over there and it's those red letters. And sometimes I misread those letters. And I looked at it, and I looked at it twice this morning. And I thought, oh, bummer. I've got to get up. I've got to get up. But I say this to you. When I come to church because I want something. I want God to deal with me. I want a touch from him. Hey, we've got needs in today that the medical world, the psychological world, the educational world, the entertainment world, pick one, none of them can help. But what we need today is a touch from God. We need his touch. Man doesn't have the answer. Man doesn't provide it, but there's a God in heaven who can help you. I like that where I believe it was Joseph said, you know, or maybe it was Daniel said they'd called on him. I believe it was Daniel, they called on him to interpret a dream, and he said, I don't know it, but there's a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Hey, I'm not telling you this morning you can come to church because the pastor's got the answer. No. But I tell you, if you come to the house of God, you ought to come looking for God to deal with you, speak to your heart, because he has the answer for you. He's got the answer for that need that you have this morning. Whatever that need is, wherever it is, you need a touch from God, a touch from above, a touch from him. Hey, there was a certain season. That's a certain season. It's today. It's right now. It's a certain soul. That's you. That's you. Right now. And there's a certain Savior. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's here. He promised us. Where two or three are gathered together, there I'll be in the midst. He's here. So I want you to see the certain solicitation. Look in chapter 5, that same verse 6. But that's where you find that question that the Lord asked that man who was lame. He said, "Will thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" Now, would you stay with me just for a moment? Here's a man's been there for 38 years. You with me? 38 years. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to him and asked him a definite, specific question. Wilt thou be made whole? But I want you to look at his answer. I want you to look at his answer in verse 7. The impotent man said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm sitting, while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." Got a question for you. Did he answer the question that was asked him? He didn't answer the question that was asked. The question was pretty plain. You'd thought this guy was training to be a politician. Because they have a wonderful knack of never answering the question they're asked. You know, the Lord asked this man very simply, very plainly, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Instead, he began to explain here why it wasn't happening. He said, "Let me explain to you why I can't be made whole. Let me just give you the reason it's not possible. Hey, the water gets troubled, and when I'm coming, somebody beats me there. Well, doggone it, lay on the edge of the pool, all right? So all you got to do is turn over." But I don't know what's going on. He didn't answer the question was asked. But I'll be honest with you, I've watched people down through the years. That's the way people are, too. When you begin to deal with people, and especially when you deal with people about spiritual things, it's amazing to me when the question is asked, they don't answer the question you ask. And they begin to say, "Well, preacher, you can't be. It can't be. I just can't do that. I'm not able to do that. Somebody else is better qualified." We've got an excuse, not an answer. We've got an explanation, but not an answer. Hey, boy, I mean, it's a pretty plain question. Wilt thou be made whole? Now, to me, there's only two answers. Yes or no? I get aggravated. I'm going to tell you, I get aggravated sometimes at kids nowadays. When you find them doing something, and trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, you ask them a question, maybe? I want to reach out with both hands and massage their Adam's apple, okay? Severely. Hey, this question, wilt thou be made whole? Yes or no? How about it? Wilt thou be made whole? It's a simple question. But he doesn't answer it. Instead, he changes and said, "Well, hey, you know, hey, folks, I'm going to tell you." You say, "Well, preacher, why are you making such an issue?" Because here, I believe you need to face the question. I believe you need to face the question as a child of God. I believe God deals with people and he deals with his children. And he asks you a question today, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Or he asks you another question that he's dealing with you about. And the question is, are you going to answer it or not? Are you going to answer it? You remember when he went and stood before the Apostle Peter there, really after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, he appeared to them and they were out fishing and he was on the shore and cooking some food and he told them, you know, and they came to the shore and old Peter was there with him and three times the Lord asked him the same question, "Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me?" You know, and I can't help but old Peter said, "Well, of course. Oh, yeah, sure." But the Lord knew Peter. And the Lord knows you. Maybe that's the reason sometimes we don't want to answer the question he asks. But he deals with your heart. He deals with your soul and he comes to you. And he says, "Listen, you want that problem fixed? Do you want that problem fixed? Do you need the help? Do you really want the help you're thinking about today? Do you really want an answer to that situation? Do you really want me to intervene?" Hey, he's asking that of you this morning. Hey, do you really want a real close relationship with the Savior of the world? Sometimes it's easy for us to give a flippant answer. Sometimes it's very easy for us to change the subject and kind of explain why we can't. But the Lord's asking that certain question to you this morning. How about it? How about it? You see, I'm afraid sometimes the reason we don't really want to give him a straight-up answer is because we're afraid of what he's going to say. Now, I want you to look at the certain solution was given to this fellow right here, would you? Look there in verse 8. He's asking in verse 7, "Wilt thou?" or in verse 6, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the man has given a roundabout no answer. And the Lord sort of ignores his no answer and said, all right, I'm going to tell you how to get what you claim you're here for. He said, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Certain specific instructions were given to this man. The Lord was saying to him, if you want to be made whole, here's what you need to do. Now, what did he need to do? Well, first he needed to listen. He needed to listen and get what he needed to do. Needed to listen and get what he needed to do. A lot of people today, we only hear the first part. And then we think, I'm trucking off to do it. Wait a minute. You know, I've tried to tell people what I want to do, and I've had them, just as you begin to start, they turn away. Wait a minute, you haven't heard everything. I want you to listen to every bit of it. The Lord gave this man specific instructions. Wilt thou be made whole? All right, then rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Folks, I want to say something to you this morning. I believe the same is true for us today. You came this morning to the house of God with a heart that said, Lord, I need something from you today. I need something. I need it. And the Lord says, all right. And he tells you how to get it. He tells us what to do. And I don't know about you, but I've had God do that for me many times. Hey, I've come to church before wanting to hear from God, really not knowing what I needed, but God showed me what I needed while I was there. And he spoke to me. And he deals with us. The Holy Spirit of God comes and he deals with you. He speaks to your heart. But the question is then, hey, are you going to listen? Are you going to listen? And if you're going to listen, will you do what he says? I've had people come and sit down in my office and say, preacher, I need some help. I said, all right, tell me what the problem is. And they would tell me what the situation was. And I've sat with them, and they came for that counseling. I said, all right, listen, here's some things I believe would really help you if you do it. If you do these things. They thanked me, got up, walked out of the office, and as far as I know, never did one thing I said do. Never did one thing I said do. If they did, I couldn't tell it. And in some instances, they'd come back later, usually a lot later, tell me I've got the same need. Sometimes today when people come to me and tell me, they said, preacher, I need some help, I stop them and I say this. Let me start here. If I tell you what to do, will you do it? Because if you're not going to do it, I'm wasting my time. I'm convinced a lot of people today, all the thing they want to do is tell you their problem. They just want to unload it. And I just want you to know how bad it is with me. That's it. Because people don't do what they're told to do. That man could have sat there and contemplated the words of Jesus. He could have meditated on them for a while. He could, if you will, have argued the merits of the instruction that he had gotten and thought, rise, take up my bed and walk. He could have argued back and forth about it. But I'm going to tell you something. If he had never acted on those words, he'd have died right there. And he would have died the same way he had been for 38 years. It required him to hear what God said and then do it. And then do it. There's the problem. There's a problem. Multitudes of people come to church. They have needs. They've got problems. They've got issues. They need some help. The Word of God is preached. The Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God. It doesn't have to be the brilliance of the preacher. And by the way, what he preaches on may not be the thing you think you need, But if you'll sit there and allow the Holy Spirit of God to deal with your heart, He'll call upon you. He'll call for some action. Well, what happens is we sit. The invitation's given. Nothing's done. The service is dismissed. We get up and we walk out the back door and we leave the exact same way we came. But help was available. Help was available. That man could have sat there. Hey, could I tell you this? He could have believed everything Jesus said. But the first thing he had to do was rise. Rise. All right? This fella obviously had a problem with rising, don't you think? Because he had been there 38 years and hadn't been able to get in the pool ahead of somebody else. Hadn't been able to do it. So what God was saying to him required that man to act on some faith. Just to believe God. But that's what God wants you and I to do today, is believe Him. Believe Him. What He says in His Word. What does He want me to do? Believe what He says. And then act on what you claim you believe. Hey, boy, man, let me think a second. I guess it was 57 years ago. 57 years ago. I was sitting in church on a Sunday night. The Holy Spirit of God was dealing with my soul. I can't stand here and say I'd heard the message that night. I have no idea what was preached. But I know what God was dealing with me about. I was a 9-year-old boy with a full knowledge that I was lost, on my way to hell. If I had died, I'd have died and split hell wide open. Preacher, you were only 9 years old, but I knew. And I understood thoroughly what I needed to do. I knew it. But I had to get that night, I had to step out and move to show the Lord, I'll do what you say I need to do. I've got to do it. Got to do it. Man, it was as a teenager, God called me to preach. And I know this is hard for many of you to believe, but I was not that person that always liked to be in the forefront, and I want your attention, and I did not like to get up and speak in front of people, and I was bashful, I was shy, I was an introvert in a lot of ways. I was happy to mix in and melt into the crowd. But God called me to preach, and I had to, by faith, step out and say, Lord, I'll answer that call. I'll answer that call. I'll just trust you to take care of everything else. I had to rise, take up my bed, and walk, all right? I don't know what God's dealing with you about today, all right? But I want to tell you, He's got the help that you need. And I want you to realize you're that certain soul today God's dealing with. And this is the season for you to accept what God's saying to you. This is the season. Right now is the time for you to say, Lord, I believe you. I'll do what you say to do. I'll come to you with my heart open, with a receptive mind and receptive spirit. Lord, I believe you've got the solution, and I will do what you want me to do. But you see, that requires you to act on it. That man that had been there for 38 years said, okay. You read verse 9. Immediately, the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked right then. It was on the Sabbath day. It wasn't on Sunday. It was on Saturday. But that's on the worship day for those Jews. Hey, this is the worship day for you and I. God's dealing with you. God's speaking to you. You got a need? You got a need? Preacher hadn't mentioned it this morning, but the Holy Spirit of God has had His finger on that need in your life all during the message this morning. He's whispering in your ear, you know what the need is. You know what it is. You know what you need to do. Hey, will you do what God's saying to you this morning? Will you just act on what He says? Would you do that today? That man been there 38 years. He could have continued sitting there. But he believed what the Lord said. How about you? How about you? Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you'd help us today. Lord, I believe there's a Holy Spirit of God saying to many today, wilt thou be made whole? We've got a problem. Maybe we've got a hurt. We've got something that's wrong. Lord, you want to make us whole, but it requires us to rise, step out, come to you. Lord, I pray you'd help us to do it today. If there's one today that needs to be saved, help them to get saved this morning. Help them to trust you today. Simple, childlike faith, just to come to you and call upon your name, ask you to save their soul. Lord, if there's a Christian here who's got a need in their life, they've been wounded maybe, they've been hurt, they've got a need, Lord, they need to come to you for the help. Only you can give. Help them to do it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand this morning as we sing?